Well, good morning, conference, and thank you very much indeed, Sandra. I'm very flattered indeed by your very warm introduction. If my late parents had been alive, no doubt my father, as a long-standing Ulster Unionist, would have quietly nodded in approval. My mother would have believed it. colleagues and friends, it continues to be a huge privilege for me to serve as our party's representative in the Northern Ireland Executive, not least because this year, 2014, is my 40th, and I might add, consecutive year as a proud member of the Ulster Unionist Party. I know what you're thinking, he must have started very young. And I look around this room, and I already know that it is, I suppose, my record is well short of any record. But I did secure one record this year. I was the fastest and the only government minister, because Arlene accepted the challenge then, did a no-show, to complete the North West 200 this year, and with speeds in excess of 130 miles per hour. Yeah. I've now retired. And I was the most enthusiastic, I'm told, minister at the finish line of the Giro d'Italia. And I'm pleased that our party continues to support these and other important sporting and tourist events, not least by securing the passage of legislation to provide the organisers better flexibility to move races in bad weather. And we showed our clear support. Let me begin by saying things have just got a whole lot tougher at the executive. Money is tight and political games are being played more than ever. And more than ever, we're witnessing the politics of the playground. We're now very clearly in direct competition with DUP Sinn Féin party political decisions and Sinn Féin DUP deals. And we're in direct competition with their joint and shared party political interests. We've never said never about withdrawing from the executive. And our party's stance is in support of an official opposition. And as you know, that's currently on the agenda for talks. Talks reserved primarily for executive parties, when it wouldn't make sense to take decisions that would make that would remove us from those talks at this time. Only in the last few weeks, we've had a couple of new faces around the table, and I'll touch on that briefly. Because last year, we had two new faces as well. One of those, you will remember, raised a few eyebrows. Some questioned his experience and competence, his ability even to follow on from his predecessor. The other, many on the inside, knew would grow into the role and prove his worth. And those on the inside are being proved right. Mark H isn't doing a bad job. But as for Simon Wonga Hamilton, even the most unlikely voices can now be heard whispering, saying, well, the money was better run with Sammy Wilson. Shame Peter felt he had to get rid of him. Thug or no thug. Only this week, Wonga Hamilton said, if I didn't agree with his and Sinn Féin's payday loan, I should just refuse the funding for the concessionary fare scheme, which is so popular and so well used by many of our older people. Well, let me respond to Simon. Your comments are not worthy of a finance minister of the Northern Ireland Executive. But then again, you've handed that role over to the Chancellor of the Exchequer. George Osborne now has the final sign-off on our finances. And Simon, you gave it to him. And you know it's the form of revenue raising that I objected to, the blind salami-slicing cuts. And you know perfectly well, Simon, that I and others objected to your failing to properly assess need and properly assess frontline services across all departments before wielding your axe. And importantly, you know that I have been, as this party has been, a vocal supporter of more money for our health service. The difference is we would have been giving health more money for the last 3.5 years, not just the next 6 months. And you only backed down and offered additional monies because you feared a pensioner's revolt. You knew funds were needed to maintain concessionary fares, for effective policing and legal aid, and for victims and survivors of the Troubles. For you to suggest now that you want that money back is not just a swipe at executive colleagues, it is a mark of deep disregard for our elderly and vulnerable citizens. And our elderly and vulnerable citizens are entitled to and deserve much more better than that. And Simon, while you are here, let's discuss another deal. How about the deal that you gave John So What O'Dowd because Sinn Féin bossed you? Make my departmental budget exempt from those deep cuts too. Then we can talk about whether or not it requires additional resource funding. Wisely, I suppose, I should await Simon's response with interest rather than hold any breath with expectation. Now let's return to the two new boys, Wells and Storey. And indeed, it sums up the entire DUP reshuffle. Two new faces, but no new ideas. But they're a fitting match for Carol and Michelle, who sit opposite them around the executive table. You see, conference, when a government expends all its energies arguing the cause of the problems, it leaves nothing to put into finding the solutions. And I'm afraid that's why the public in Northern Ireland are not getting the best possible outcomes from the resources we have. And that's the least that they and we deserve. Despite this, what I will politely refer to as a challenging environment, we as a party have made progress in areas that we are responsible for. Important capital infrastructure, the A2 and the A8, Roy Beggs is always pleased to know. They're progressing well and will be delivered on time. Not only will they be delivered on time, but Europe is now footing a significant part of the bill too. Because of the success of a dedicated European team that our party established in the Department for Regional Development, and of course, from the sound advice that we've obtained from our own Jim Nicholson. Thanks again, Jim. We now have the best track record for securing European funding of any department within the executive. That's an Ulster Unionist achievement. And we're moving forward with the A26 in North Antrim, where our Chief Whip, Robin Swan, is doing a superb job, and we're progressing the Macrofield bypass too. And thanks again, Sandra, for all your hard work and your kind introduction. And I fully expect that we will continue to deliver a number of other major and minor schemes, as they're often termed. And I've no doubt that when we cut the tape on Millennium Way Lurgan, we will have a very content father of the house in Sam Gardner, and also by next summer, a very content Ulster Unionist MP for Upper Ban, Joanne Dobson. And can I, conference, express our full support to Danny Kinahan and Joanne in the run-up to next year's elections. Two superb candidates, more to follow. Could I also say, we're all very much aware of how professionally Sam undertook his role in overseeing the election of the Speaker, and other parties involved in that process could take a leaf out of Sam Gardner's book, How to Conduct Themselves in the Assembly Chamber. We are on course too with our replacement programmes for the Rathlin and Stragford ferry services. You see, capital funding hasn't been the same casualty of cuts as resource funding, and government from Westminster down deliberately budgets capital and resource budgets separately. Capital might build a new hospital, but resource pays for the staff to work on it. And this system rightly strikes a balance, but in Northern Ireland, the Department of Finance has got that balance badly wrong and has created the sort of imbalance that the system is set up to protect against. And in turn, that imbalance has created the sort of situations that struggle to make proper sense. That means my capital budget for new streetlights remains, but I've had my resource budget to to repair existing lights, decimated. I have capital funds which I can use to resurface roads, but a smash and grab by executive cuts on my resource budget leaves me restricted when it comes to resource funding to repair potholes. That said, we're Australianists. We're problem solvers. We're resourceful and we're creative, and we will deliver the best possible service to the public with what we have at our disposal. Our principles are driven by fairness, and we aim to deliver fairness for all. Chairman, last year I raised the subject of TaxSmart, a salary sacrifice scheme for bus travel across the UK, and I wanted to negotiate with Treasury to extend TaxSmart to rail travel in Northern Ireland. Yet the Department of Finance blocked me from having that conversation and failed to progress the issue themselves. We have many users of TaxSmart on our buses in Northern Ireland, but my ambition is to see many more. And if you work, you may be eligible. And why not make public transport journeys even cheaper? Remember, it is the Ulster Unionist Party that is growing public transport and passenger numbers in Northern Ireland. Last year's record figures, I can say 6 months into this financial year, will be broken again over this 12-month period. And that's without additional services, and yet there is news on that too. We will have greater frequency on a number of weekend rail services by the end of this year. We're making public transport more reliable and less reliant on the public purse. We're making a sustainable option more sustainable. It's not just our buses that are doing well. Our railways are on course to see 3 million plus more passengers by the end of this financial year, and a 30% plus increase during the time that we've been responsible for transport. So we're a party that sees opportunity, and we're a party with real vision. And I, for one, don't believe that we should, even in financially straitened times, become ground down or in any way lose our ambition. The Belfast Transport Hub that this party is bringing forward, using the design team who did such a tremendous job at King's Cross London, will not just benefit public transport users, it will act as a catalyst for regeneration for the surrounding area. And we have secured $3 million from the European Union towards that project too. I don't want today to pass without making mention of the impact of flooding on homeowners, and in particularly in this constituency in South Belfast. Flooding has been more prevalent in recent years right across the UK and indeed the Republic of Ireland. We remember what happened in Belfast in 2008 and again in 2012. And although large drainage schemes like those we are progressing, the multi-million pound next phase of the Glenmacken scheme, will improve capacity and flood resilience. But not all good initiatives cost huge sums. Sustainable drainage solutions are commonplace across Europe and can make a positive difference for homeowners in improving flood resilience. And I've asked Northern Ireland Water to engage with residents in risk areas to explore and develop opportunities for pilot sustainable drainage solutions. And on the theme of not all good initiatives costing huge sums, we continue to support small business through 5 hours for a pound. Likewise, cycling is one of the cheapest forms of transport. It helps tackle social exclusion and helps access to employment and services. It makes a huge positive impact on public health, not least in Copenhagen, where $215 million is saved each year on healthcare because the population cycles. And recent times have sharply focused our minds here in Northern Ireland on the rising cost of healthcare. So we as a party have embarked on promoting a cycling revolution in Northern Ireland. And only this week we hosted a cycling conference in Belfast to help sell our message. We heard from the cream of cycling experts, from the developers of greenways in Mayo to Transport for London engineers, from Dutch experts and Danish campaigners. And they were all agreed on one important ambition, that Belfast in Northern Ireland has the potential to become the cycling capital of both the UK and this island. And that's our ambition. It's an Ulster Unionist ambition. The Danes have been working at it since the 1970s, and it's a revolution that may take as long as 25 years to complete. 25 years. An unnamed MLA challenged me on that earlier this year. He wasn't belonging to this party. And he expressed surprise at the length of 25 years. But I was able to quip to that member. Yes, it's a long-term plan. And I accept by the time the full benefit is realised, it may well be that I will be in a care home. That is, if his colleague, the Health Minister, hasn't closed them. So, for the 25 years, well, we are patient, and for us, that's fine. And that's what we are as Ulster Unionists. We take the right decisions today, even if the true benefit is only going to be felt by our children and our grandchildren. That's how we are. That's our DNA. That's what makes us tick. Doing the right thing today for a better tomorrow and for a better future for Northern Ireland. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Minister, not only for your inspirational words, but for the work that you do for this party and for the people of Northern Ireland. Thank you. You've already heard the super councils mentioned. And you know, one of the wonderful things, because of our success at the elections, is that they're heavily populated by Ulster Unionist councillors. So they're super councils, but they're superb councillors. And would you please welcome one of them to the podium now until he shares some thoughts with you. Councillor Chris Smith.
Fellow unionists, my name is Chris Smith. Born in the Tyrone County Hospital, educated at Gillygilly Primary School, later at OMA Academy, I'm quite simply an OMA man through and through. It was the greatest honour of my life to be selected as the Ulster Unionist candidate and subsequently to be elected in the recent local government elections to the new Fermanagh and OMA Super Council. During my school days, I got the bug for politics as they offered the subject at A-level. I got the opportunity to study under an inspirational teacher, Dr. Russell Rees, or as we called him, the Doc. The Doc is generally accepted as one of Northern Ireland's premier historians on Northern Ireland's foundations, and we learnt the history of our wee country's foundation, 1921, up to the present day. Learning the history of Northern Ireland from an impartial standpoint, there was only ever one party I was going to get involved in, this one. But ladies and gentlemen, there's only so much you can learn in a classroom, and I wanted to know what real politics actually entailed. I wanted to get my hands dirty, so to speak. So for my work experience, I spent 3 days with the party. I spent 2 days in the West Tyrone office with the then Councillor Ross Hussey, and one day up in Stormont with Tom Elliott, MLA. And what a fantastic experience that was. Following my work experience, I became an active member in the association. I was an active member in the local association, and I was part of the team that reclaimed the Ulster Unionist seat in West Tyrone for the Assembly in 2011. But in the year 2012, a new chapter of my life opened. I began studying at Queen's University Belfast, and as a brand new student, overwhelmed by all the societies and clubs that our union supported, I joined the Young Unionists. It stood out, and I signed out without hesitation. I forged great friendships, had lots of fun, and hopefully I was a valuable asset to the Ulster Unionist Party. The YU gave me the self-confidence that when the letter came through my door asking for names after my predecessor stepped down from OA Council, I had the self-confidence in myself to put my name forward. and I'm grateful to this party for giving me the opportunity at such a young age to stand for public office. But that's enough looking back. Conference is about looking to the future. Now is an exciting time to be an Ulster Unionist. The recovery is now well and truly underway, and our reasonable, tolerant, non-sectarian message is gaining momentum. I believe that next year, when we meet again as conference, we will have MPs at Westminster once again. Most of my life has been spent in education. As the son and grandson of teachers, the importance of good education for our young people was ingrained into me at an early age. But conference, good education is not about turning our academic institutions into exam factories. Grades only tell part of the story. Equally as important is a young person's development as an individual. To develop properly, everyone needs an environment that is nurturing and welcoming and puts in place appropriate safety mechanisms if things go wrong. Academic institutions are supposed to be shared spaces where anyone, regardless of creed, colour, disability, religion or political opinion, or anything else for that matter, can go and avail of the services they need. Sinn Féin's recent attempts at Queen's to ban the poppy sellers and to introduce a divisive referendum show me one thing. From their minister to their activists, they do not want us to share our academic institutions. Sinn Féin have handled the education portfolio poorly, and the UUP make no secret that we want that ministry and we would do a much better job for our young people. Now, I have no plans at the minute, but if and when I have children, I want to do what's right for them. I want to be part of a party that would never put policy above individual needs. I want to send them to the best education system, not just in this part of the UK, but in the rest of the world. And there's no chance of that under the current arrangements. It takes progressive thinking, it takes political courage, and we're the party to do that. We as a party have been and need to continue to be the voice of reason. We need to think carefully about how to best move our education forward instead of using our children as political footballs in some hidden agenda. Put them first and equip them for the ever-changing workplace they put forward is the most important thing that an education department can do. And that can only be done in a welcoming, nurturing, inclusive environment. And that's the environment we wish to give our young people if we were ever to take the ministry. Thank you for listening to me, conference, and it's been a great honour to address you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.